Check my inbox and what do I see? Just another day, another T-R-A-D-E. I'm an addict, and I need it in my veins. I'm an addict, otherwise I feel plain now. Every day I wake up, people got a problem. Making all these trades up, got me singing got em. But I've been paid up, I even started from the bottom. See, I don't wait up, I ain't even playing possum. So what it cost, I'm just a couple of firsts. Can't believe that it worked, not to say I'm a jerk. But I'm an addict, it's what I said in the first. You can curse all you want, you can pray in your church. But I'ma keep tapping return, I win if I learn. I ain't trying to burn any bridges, I yearn. For the feeling I earn, all my winners will turn. You had a cheek before I drop you like the beat. I'm an addict, and I'm not really ashamed. I'm an addict, I'm a clown with the brain. I'm an addict, and the pot is what I'm playing. I'm an addict,
Russin Rocky.
Other names, Trade Addicts Pod, let's go.
I am Dynasty Outhouse, and I have a trading problem.
I am Frank Neal, and I also have a trading problem.
And I'm Zach Reed. I, too, have a trading problem.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to Session 352 of the Trade Addicts Podcast, a proud member of the Dynasty Addicts Podcast Network, the DAP Network, if you will. And we did... There's news. Like, stuff happened. And... I think it's good news.
Some better than others.
Some better than others. That is absolutely true. But the football games happened on Sunday morning. My daughter chose for me to paint my nails green. And I was just like, this can go really wrong really badly because we're not getting our nails done for two more weeks, L. So if the Eagles lose, you're dooming me to have to stare at this losing color. And she just said, shut up, Dad. So I got green nails. And it's okay because the Eagles won anyway, though I was kind of rooting for the Commanders, not going to lie.
I thought maybe Ellie was going to give you the fly, Eagles fly, Dad. Let's go.
Oh, no. What's even funnier is she loves playing on my – I have a little tablet that has a pen with it. And I have a picture of an Eagles helmet because, you know, I used to – oh, it was for Fantasy Cares. I had to take a picture of a signed mini helmet. She is a big Taylor Swift fan, so she is a Chiefs fan. So I have a picture on my tablet of an Eagles helmet colored red with KC written over the wings. Like, she turned the Eagles helmet into, like, a legit Chiefs helmet. It's very fitting and very funny, even though she did this, like, a year and a half ago at this point.
You should sell that or market that, the Eagles helmet Ellie version.
Ooh. I should get a real one and let her paint it. That'd be a... I feel the money rolling in already. We're going to be rich. I'll throw you a finder's fee.
Okay.
All right. But let's get to the news because there is a lot of it.
Yeah. We'll start with the weirdest one, I guess. Jerry tried to sneak this in on Friday night, by the way, in case people didn't exactly notice.
10 o'clock at night.
Yeah, he really tried to sneak this one in. But the Cowboys hired Brian Schottenheimer. Instead of McCarthy, they basically took his OC who didn't even call the plays for the last couple of years. So I really don't get the hire, but he was top 10 in offense all 3 years. He was OC of Seattle. I think it was him calling the plays under Carroll's philosophy is how I've kind of understood it, but it wasn't Carroll calling the plays when he was there.
Correct.
But Addison Hayes, Adam Ace Hayes underscore on Twitter, by the way, he posted – a really good tweet, and I'm going to steal some of his numbers here. In Schottenheimer's 3 years in Seattle, Russell Wilson finished as QB9, QB4, and QB6. Chris Carson, which is a funny name, finished as RB15, 12, and 19. Tyler Lockett finished as wide receiver 16, 13, and wide receiver 8. And DK Metcalf had his best fantasy finish of his career as wide receiver 7 in 2020. So... as weird as this is, this doesn't seem like it's going to kill the Cowboys. Like, I think they're going to be fine from a fantasy perspective. And Addison's takeaway, by the way, was Dak's underrated still, and we should still be buying him. So, Zach, I'll start with you, and then Russ can kind of get into it, because I know he was still kind of a Seahawks fan at this point when Shoddy was there. But what are your takeaways here on this hire?
So it's interesting. I coaching staffs and coaching hires are always this weird gray area mystic because you don't know how things are going to go together. And especially with Schottenheimer, who has never been a head coach, mm-hmm. you don't know how that's going to go together. And we can't call him Brian anymore. Jerry Jones said he's not Brian anymore.
I hate that press conference was so bad, dude. It hurt my soul to watch that.
But it feels like to me that Jerry Jones didn't he pissed off McCarthy and then didn't get a deal done or didn't find a coach willing to come in and then was like, I got to do something. All right, Schottenheimer. And so from a fantasy perspective, I mean, the offensive players on Dallas that are good are probably still good players, regardless of who is there and calling the plays. I am more concerned with what they put around Dak, what they put around CeeDee Lamb, what they do with the offensive line, that sort of thing, than I am Schottenheimer. Although it's a nice track record with the Seahawks, I guess. I mean, Addison's a pretty smart guy. I'll buy into a little bit of that.
Meh. On Addison, not on the numbers that he gave. It's really funny to me that this makes perfect sense from Jerry Jones. It's because he's just like, Schottenheimer, I remember that name. Okay, you're hired. Like, I mean, that seems like just like what it was. Like, he doesn't realize that it's the wrong Schottenheimer. You know, because like he hired Mike McCarthy because he knew the name. It's an old guy that's been around forever. So Brian just got lucky that he has the same last name as his dad.
Did you see the other quote from Jerry Jones where he said, without this thing being about me in any way, if you don't think I can operate outside my comfort zone, look what I just did.
Look at this idiot I just hired. Experience. Yeah.
It feels like one of those where like people are like, Jerry can't get out of his own way. And he's like, watch this.
And then he said glory hole like three times. And
you know, he always does that.
But yeah, fantasy wise, Dak is good and CeeDee Lamb is good, and I don't think whoever runs that offense could ruin that. Mm-hmm. Like if Mike McCarthy couldn't ruin that, I think it would take something special to ruin that. So I'm not really worried. If they bring in some other, like this could be a good offense. I mean, Schottenheimer's offense was boring but effective, I think, was a good way to put it. Like, there was nothing flashy about it. There's nothing even really very good about it.
Clearly, he was top 10, right? I mean, it wasn't...
But it worked. Even if that was just a product of Russell Wilson being too good for his own good...
Probably.
Dak can do that. Yeah. I mean, not the same way that Russell Wilson did it, but Dak and CeeDee Lamb, I think, are good enough to give themselves a couple of wins on their own. So I'm not really concerned about the two of them. Here he has listed Tyler Lockett, the wide receiver two's numbers. And it's like, I don't think Jalen Tolbert's really going to rise the ranks or anything. But I mean, DK Metcalf having his best year and CeeDee Lamb being as, you know, better than DK Metcalf is, I think that's a good sign.
Something that's left out in these numbers is Russ was also obsessed with Tyler Lockett. Russ Wilson at the time, he was like his favorite target all those years too. So it was
That wide receiver 8 year, I think, was the year where they had the perfect passer rating with each other.
Yep. I imagine the Cowboys will draft a second receiver. I can't imagine they're going into the season with Brandon Cooks and Tolbert and all those guys is there too, but I've been wrong about that before. Every mock I've seen is Genty, which I know Zach is doing his research right now, and I don't know where he's at on Genty, but that would certainly be a good fit for what Schottenheimer likes to do.
It's a good year to draft a running back, full stop, if you're an NFL team needing one.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we can move on to the rest of this. Liam Cohen to the Jaguars and will call plays. I was saying in the pre-show that this was my number one story until his press conference, and then he got kicked down to two because of that Duval thing.
Duval.
This felt like the best fit from the start, and I know it was a lot of weirdness and craziness last week where he had a OC contract but didn't actually sign it and then ran to Shad Khan and showed it off and whatever. we were talking about Brian Thomas a couple of weeks ago, if it was like Ben Johnson and what his rise would be. I don't think this moves the needle for BTJ, this hire. I think it's good for Lawrence, and I think it's good for the running backs. Everyone's with a Twitter or a Blue Sky account is basically saying Travis Etienne's going to be Bucky next year, and I don't know. But I guess, Zach, two questions. Are you upgrading any Jaguars, and are you downgrading any Bucks? Because we don't know who they're. Baker's about to have his ninth OC in 9 years or something like that now.
Yeah, the Bucks will be interesting. Although they're interviewing currently for the OC position, and they brought in two of the offensive minds from the Rams, which to me, if you're going to get a piece of a system, if it's one of those Shanahan, you know, disciples, then you're feeling at least optimistic about it. As far as the Jaguars, this is the year where Trevor Lawrence either puts up or shuts up. You kind of gave him a pass with his first couple of years. He hasn't been great the last two, but this is kind of, okay, it's the man who rebuilt Baker Mayfield. Trevor Lawrence is talented. Can he put it together? And if that happens, I know you said you don't upgrade Brian Thomas. If that offense clicks and all of a sudden Trevor Lawrence throws, 50, 75, 100 more times, then by default, the pie gets bigger. So maybe Brian Thomas's piece doesn't get bigger, but the pie is now bigger. So he's effectively eating more. And so a good offense, if Cohen can come in and make that a better offense, make that a better team, it's good for all of the offensive pieces.
Yeah, I don't think and honestly, if Ben Johnson ended up in Jacksonville, I don't think we really would have really boosted anyone's value all that much. I think it was just more of a craze and fun to talk about. And just like here, like, I'm not boosting anyone because of Cohen being there. Mm-hmm. I'm not down on, like, I don't think it's bad for BTJ or anything. That offense was so mediocre that the fact that BTJ was like, what, wide receiver 13 in points per game and like seven overall, something like that, is pretty astounding on its own merit. So if that, like Zach said, if that offense can just click a little bit and, bring in another pass catcher or two, please Evan Engram stay healthy this year, that kind of stuff, that good offense is better for the people in the offense. Mm-hmm. I'm not worried about the Bucks because, Cohen wasn't their offensive coordinator last year or the year before or whatever, however we have to say it now that the season's over. They're getting another offensive coordinator. Like, that's just what Baker's used to at this point. I feel like Baker wouldn't know what to do with the same guy 2 years in a row right now. And again, like Zach said, if you got to get someone, you pull someone from McVay. And
yep. That's where they got Cohen.
There you go.
Yep.
So, and on raising BTJ up, I didn't think we would because just ADP, he's 8 right now behind Nico and Puka, and you're not putting him above those two yet. He's not.
He's on the trajectory, and I just saw JJ Zacharyson tweet out about his Z-score, but he's on the trajectory in that same vein as Jefferson and Chase, and not that you're willing to put him there yet, but if you were prescient enough to draft him last year, you're feeling very good about where you are now.
Yeah, I feel like he's like where CeeDee Lamb was 2 years ago, where it's like, oh man, we've seen some good stuff, little bit more, and we put him up there. And it took CeeDee Lamb a few years to do that, but he's there. I think Brian Thomas Jr. could do that. It would absolutely help if Trevor Lawrence put up instead of shutting up, if he could play better, that would be great. Yeah. For everything involved. But I'm a fan of BTJ and Trevor Lawrence. So hoping for the best.
Yep. And they have a bunch of outs in Lawrence's contract coming up soon, I think. So if he doesn't put up, he's probably cut, honestly. Yeah. So it'll be interesting. Raiders hire Pete Carroll as their head coach. And the Bucks assistant GM, John Spytek, as their GM. Good culture fit, honestly, but staff is going to be very important. And one kind of ranty thing, Spytek is apparently tight with Brady, who's somehow keeping his Fox job next year. I don't know how that's possible.
Talk about the last name Spytek?
Yeah, it's great. Or speech, I don't know. I don't know if that's actually right, but that's what I'm going to call it.
I think that's how I heard it pronounced. Yeah. Like, that's just top-notch name.
Yeah.
But my and attached Brady to Brady. That's weird.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Sorry. Yeah. Brady shouldn't have his Fox job. This is crazy. He's actively being named the lead in all these meetings. He shouldn't be in this Fox job.
Not only conflict of interest, but he is so bad.
I know. Bring Olsen back. Olsen was awesome. Olsen's going to make a ton of money somewhere.
There was the 2-point conversion in the Commanders game, and Brady says before the play, the ball is going to go to Jaden Daniels. It is. He's the quarterback. And the play is either going to go left or right. I'm like, that's so why bad. This guy makes the big money. I know, he's so good. Bad. He is good.
My favorite was, it wasn't, this isn't Brady. It was Jimmy Johnson. Is that the old coach's name?
Yeah.
He's like, I don't know. I forgot. If the Bills are going to win this game, they're going to have to run the ball. They're going to have to pass the ball. And they're going to have to score. And they're going to have to stop Kansas City from scoring. And I'm like,
cool. Let's do
run,
that.
Run, pass, score more points than other side. Got it. Let's go. That pure John Madden moment. It was wonderful. Just, boom.
Yeah. I don't think we can say anything on the Raiders yet, right? We don't have a staff.
We don't know who any of them are. Who are the players?
Yeah, the players we don't know.
Like Bowers, who are the players?
They're going to run a lot. I did see a good post about Pete Carroll when he got hired. He said, the post said, Pete Carroll is headed to Las Vegas to chew gum and kick ass, and Pete Carroll always has gum.
it's just, who knows? I hope there's a coach in waiting, and this is a couple of year thing.
It's a Ron Rivera move, right?
Yeah. Someone said he's already trying to talk to Russ Wilson to come over and be his quarterback and bridge, but whatever. He's gonna beat the Chiefs somehow. Just on a random Thursday night football game in Arrowhead. Pete Carroll's gonna win that game. Aaron Glenn to the Jets. A lot of people liked these hires. They also hired Broncos assistant GM Darren Mogi. I'm not going to say that right. Aaron Glenn said he will speak to Rodgers sooner rather than later. He's not going to drag this out, thank God. Mogi's background primarily is scouting and drafting. So if you read the tea leaves, this smells like a rebuild to me. So let's hope.
The defense finally wasn't that defense. That defense was the reason they weren't rebuilding.
Mm-hmm.
And that defense did not play very well. So now they're I guess we might as well.
Yeah, but they were kind of like the Lions. They lost a lot of people up front. Reddick was out for half the year, and McDonald's was out for half the year, and Sauce was never healthy this year. It'll be interesting. I hope it's, I hope it's Darnold. I said it last week. Just bring him back. He deserves one more chance at this. He's going to get a job somewhere. I still think it's Vegas, but I want him to go to the Jets. This was a fun hire. Clint Kubiak was hired as the OC for the Seahawks. Apparently, all the whispers about this was that Grubb said he was going to run the ball and kind of lied about that and didn't run the ball. And Kubiak's the run the ball guy. So this should be great for Walker and Charbonnet if they can figure out what the heck split they want to do. This is what's frustrating about the Seahawks to me. This should be Ingram and Kamara. Why isn't this Ingram and Kamara? This should be one guy is the running guy and one guy catches 65 passes. Why can't this be that? I just don't understand.
But they don't really have a guy that should catch 65 passes.
Charbonnet can catch, kind of. He's not Kamara, but he's
better than Walker for sure.
Yeah.
That's just what's frustrating to me is this should make so much sense, and it's never handled right. So who knows? Bears hire 28-year-old Declan Doyle as offensive coordinator. Johnson said he's calling the plays, though. He's already said that. This seems like the guy in waiting type. This one was kind of out of nowhere. Texans fired Slowick as their OC. And a lot of fantasy players are about to be decided on what's next. And the name that has been thrown around a lot is national championship winning offensive coordinator Chip Kelly, which I'm not sure if I want that or not, but he can sure run the ball. So that would be great for Mixon.
And he, his offense runs 1,000 plays a game if possible. So that
give me that offense on the
Texans. That should be positive. I still think it's really funny to me, the whole Stroud, because everybody ran Stroud out so far last year, where he was like quarterback 4 or 5, 2. Yeah. And you're looking at it, and he finished as quarterback like 12 or 13, which was good, like a great rookie year. But so much of that was touchdown efficiency. And there was not really room to throw more passes or very many more passes than he threw in his rookie year. And so, like, he had uber touchdown efficiency with almost max volume. Where did people think he was going to go? Now, this is a bit more of regression than what I had even anticipated. But, like, it was pretty obvious to me that that was a screaming sell on Stroud, even though he was a good young quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
So
Mixon was also – yeah, go ahead, sorry.
No, it'll be interesting to see the direction of the wind in the community on this firing, whoever they hire to put with him, and whether or not Stroud bounces back value, or if he ends up, you know, kind of settling down, you know, in the QB 10-12 range, which I think is about, you know, that's nice for him.
Yeah.
For us.
And man, I can't even give him away and trade Addicts 11.
Yeah. And so that's one where I would wait, because I think you're going to be able to, but.
And for the smart people here, just FYI, Chip Kelly was not Stroud's offensive coordinator at Ohio State. He was hired after that. Yeah. So just to make sure no one draws parallels that weren't there, but he was not the OC.
As long as nobody gives Chip Kelly GM duties again, I think
that won't happen. I think this time around, I think he's loving his OC job, because he left a head coach job at UCLA to be OC at Ohio State. So I think he loves being a coordinator. Here's a name coming out of the grave. Eric Bieniemy is speaking to multiple teams, and apparently was the leader for the Patriots offensive coordinator job, had McDaniels not been the quote unquote obvious choice.
I would have loved to see Bieniemy there. I like that would have been fun. The cynic in me says, yeah, teams are interviewing Bieniemy because of the Rooney rule.
Rooney rule. Yeah.
But like, man, like I know that he didn't perform as well as people were hoping in Washington, but like I think as an offensive coordinator, you can do a heck of a lot worse than Eric Bieniemy.
Yep. Does the Rooney rule apply to offensive coordinators?
It's everybody.
Everybody.
Like, that's yeah. Okay.
Because that's what people are interviewing him as, not as a head coach or anything.
Yep.
Is there any even offensive coordinator spots left? Dallas.
Texans.
And Saints don't have a head coach yet. Oh, and Bucks. Now.
Have the Raiders figured out an offensive coordinator?
Not to my knowledge.
Yeah.
That would fit.
Darrell Bevell was available.
Yeah.
Yeah. I saw that floated out there.
Yeah.
Art Rooney anticipates signing one of Fields or Russ. He said he does not expect to bring both back, and he wants a longer than 1 year deal. This feels like Fields.
I would say, as a Patriots fan, I hope they re-sign Russell Wilson, because he is awful.
This feels like Fields to me because he'll be cheaper and
better.
I don't want to say better because people like Addison are going to yell at me.
He's better than Russell Wilson at this
point. He is. I agree with you, but too many people say Russ is still better, which I don't believe. But and then the last couple things player related. There's whispers DK's on the block, and Russ's new favorite team, the Los Angeles Chargers, are interested in him.
It's not my new favorite team. It's just my always been favorite jersey. Yes,
that's true. That's from Jeremy Fowler and the Seattle Times, is that DK's on the block.
There's a spot over here in New England for DK to catch mm-hmm. passes from a Pro Bowl quarterback.
Yes. Russ would love that because that would mean Higgins couldn't go to the Patriots if that happened.
Yes. Let DK go to the Patriots so I don't have to worry about Higgins going there.
DK on the Patriots would be fun. I would like that. And then Javonte's not expected to return to the Broncos. I think we knew that, but that's good. Yeah. We don't have to worry about that anymore.
Yeah, I grabbed Jaleel McLaughlin and the dispersal I'm doing right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he feels dangerous. Estime too, but Estime's a bowling ball. He's not going to be anything like Kamara or anything like that. So that's all the news I have.
That's it. Ugh.
All right. Well, unfortunately, only
37 minutes or whatever.
No matter. Well, 10 of it was FBSing
before we started. Yeah, right.
But unfortunately, there still are no trades this week. Everyone is still. I'm still trying to get people to answer if they're coming back next year. It's like people like have just decided to go on mental vacation.
Hiatus. Yeah.
We have a couple of second chance dispersals going on, which, you know, I don't know if we've ever really talked about this. What are your feelings? So, in case you don't know, a second chance dispersal, what it is a chance for people already in the league to redraft, sort of. The way I do it is it's kept secret who's going to join. I have a Google form that I put on the message board for everyone to fill out. And you'll say, well, my form says whether you're coming back to the league or not. And if you are, do you want to join the second chance dispersal? And what that is all of your players, all of your picks go into a draft pool. And whoever says yes, those are the players and picks. And that's, you just redraft from that player pool. It happens a lot less likely, a lot less often than I think, at least. Like, I know, like, I go through and I'm like, this guy's definitely going to say yes. This person's definitely going to say yes. No, but your team's terrible. Why wouldn't you want to try again? Like, you know, chances are you're not going to leave a dispersal with a good team, because it's not very often good teams go into dispersals, though I do, because...
Or it's going to win championships because it's 100 years old, because you pick Barkley and Adams and all these guys on top of each other.
Which is along the lines of what I did. After my first three picks, I ended up with, like, Davante Adams, Amari Cooper, like, all of the old wide receivers, Keenan Allen...
There's a chance to snag a win now team in one of those, but you got to be willing to do it.
Yeah, it breaks up the stagnation. Is that a real word?
Mm-hmm.
Of a league in general. So, and usually after there's drafts, there's trading to be done afterwards. So I'm a big fan of second chance dispersals.
Mm-hmm. I love it because you not only you get the fresh blood of whoever's coming into your league, right? Because usually you're doing second chance dispersals with a replacement manager.
Yeah.
But you also get to keep it interesting if you have managers who, you know, maybe things have gotten a little stale. Maybe they don't love their team. Maybe they hose something up beyond their ability to fix it. You've got this chance to refresh. And so you're not losing those managers, you know, to other leagues. You're still they're still in and plugged in now. And so to me, it's great. I know that there are some people who it changes the dynamic of the league a little bit, but it should be a living organism, and it should be fun for everybody who's in it. And if this makes it fun for some of your returning managers to throw their team back and see what they can catch, let's do it.
Yeah.
I will say I have it in my rules that you can't take part in consecutive dispersals because there isn't there isn't a dispersal every single year. It's sometimes you only lose one manager, so when you just replace one, they just get the team. And sometimes everyone just says no. So, you know, even if no dispersal that year, and if there is the year after, that team still can't join because they were in that first one. So it's not consecutive years, it's consecutive dispersals. So that stops the whole, oh, so people are just going to play redraft, you know, right, thing that everyone's afraid of when they hear this. They're just going to destroy their team and then try again. So that sort of stops it. It was in the middle of a marathon of a dispersal for TA3.
I think it was like 10 days, like legitimately.
Yeah, we finished TA2. There was only three teams as opposed to your five, but yeah, I'm pretty sure we're done in a day and a half, 2 days, and it took you guys like 16.
Well, yeah, because I was traveling a little bit and some other guy was traveling and had work. It never lined up right. And we had like one good streak across a couple of hours, but we never really got our stride.
I need to check to see how that's going. Is it my turn yet? No, I just grabbed Adam Thielen to go along with my old.
I got Javon Baker in TA3, Zach.
Nice.
Because he's got upside out the wazoo.
I hope so. I thought he was the best receiver that the Pats drafted. But
yeah.
Okay, so now that we just got that was just spur of the moment kind of idea. Mm-hmm. We do have listener questions, so let's go to those. Man, what is this? Paddle Boat Verstappen.
Yep.
At Paddle Max V. In Superflex, do you see Bryce Young as a hold, or would you be looking to see if there is anyone trying to buy back in if he's your third quarterback? I want to go first because I like Bryce Young. And I'm really glad that the whole benching thing, I mean, it was because of injury, because of how short it was. But I'm glad it was short. I'm glad he came back, and I'm glad it didn't break him. Like, I'm really glad that he was able to come back and he started to play really well with still very little around him. You know, so, I mean, the answer to should I sell is always it depends on the offers you're getting. And I have to say, this class, he's probably the QB1.
Easy.
So, I mean, if I'm trading a draft pick this year for Bryce Young, it's got to be like the 103. Like, it has to be up there if we're talking straight for picks. But if you have someone that's willing to give up a decent asset to get to buy Bryce Young off of you, sure, why not? But I don't feel like I don't feel like you need to sell him because he's going to be bad next year. Like, I feel like you're fine if you hold on to him as well.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty, that's well said. He is a good enough player that you don't want to sell low. And I think the value rebounds a little bit. He's currently what, quarterback 21 on DLF's ADP. So like that's not a bad place to get him. But also paddle boat. If I'm looking at assets that I can get for Bryce Young, if I could get into if Young's my QB3, if I could get into like Rashi Rice and a pick or something like that, where I think I can get an undervalued receiver, undervalued running back, although I'm usually building with receivers. So I would be looking at an undervalued receiver. If I could get into something like Rashi Rice, or if I could get into something like Jordan Addison for Bryce Young, and then maybe get a pick on it, I'd be very happy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like a couple of the guys behind him in ADP still, but sure. I'm just not. I haven't really been a Bryce Young guy. I thought the final game was awesome, but I got to see it for longer than a few games.
It's the way you play quarterback, or the way I play quarterback. And the way I would advocate for you to play quarterback, although you don't have to listen to me, is you play it very similar to the way tight end is played.
Yeah.
Where unless you have one of those top tier difference makers, unless you mm-hmm. have Josh Allen, unless you have Jaden Daniels is now yeah. one of those top tier difference makers, Lamar Jackson, unless you have one of those guys, everything else is kind of, you know, interchangeable. And so if you can get pieces by shipping one of those players. And Bryce Young is maybe even the tier below interchangeable. And his upside, like he's never going to be Travis Kelce. You know, he's not going to be the difference maker. He doesn't have the legs like Lamar or Josh Allen or Daniels to be able to put up a season where he's a difference maker. If you can get somebody to buy into him as being one of those quarterbacks, that's an absolute win, and I'm shipping it.
Yeah, I think you could trade Bryce Young for Trevor or Dak, and I'd rather do that.
Yeah.
I'd rather have both of those.
But they're all, I mean, again, they're all the same. They're all the same thing. I mean, Dak might be.
Dak's upside is way higher,
yeah,
in my opinion. And then, Dak's and got top 10 upside, maybe yeah. higher.
Yep.
I mean.
After his bye week, so week 12 to week 17, Bryce Young was the QB 12 in points per game, putting up 20 points per game.
Yep.
He was pretty good.
He's got it. He needs some help. And there's mocks that have him getting Tet. And there's mocks that, you know, stuff like that. I
think that helps him specifically.
Russ, Zach's rating on Tet's no, like, hurt your feelings.
Well, but no, even like regardless of what you think of Tet, and like I don't think Tet McMillan is a bad player, but he's not top five in this class for me. And the type of player he is does not help Bryce Young.
No, it doesn't.
Bryce Young is very similar to the way Tua is and was coming out. Like, he needs to get the ball out quick. It's got to be 1,001, 1,002. Let's get it out. And Tet McMillan is not a 1,001, 1,002 wide receiver. He's a get down the field and post up. Yep. He probably doesn't even get open in the short and intermediate areas to me as well as Drake London did.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm on the record as being way under consent. Well, I say way. Drake Allen was like my wide receiver 4 in that class, but like
that's under way consen- too low. How dare you?
Under consensus on London, I'll be under consensus on McMillan as well. And not to say that that type of player can't succeed, but you're going to hear a lot of people say, "Oh well, Mike Evans did it." Yeah, Mike Evans is the one who has
he
done
was
it
way
in
better
the last
than Tet in
12 years. Yeah, but it's again not a knock on Tet and not a knock on Bryce Young, but their skill sets don't really mesh very well. It's like I kept seeing Tet mocked in New England early in the process. I'm like, I don't want that. I don't want that. But
so Trey Harris to the Panthers in round 2, book it.
That would be solid. But there are, I mean, even somebody like Luther Burden who gets open quick, Restrepo who gets open quick, like that type of player would be a lot better suited to Bryce Young's skill set.
Yep.
Carolina picks 8th overall.
They should not take Restrepo at 8. Just throwing that out there.
Or Burden for that matter.
No.
All right, next question. Ryan Beaton FF at Ryan Beaton. Got an offer on the table I'm thinking about. Send Lamar Jackson. There's lots of like.
Send Lamar and receive Stroud and Olave.
A lot of ellipses and plus signs. Yeah. And I got really confused. send Lamar Jackson, receive Stroud and Olave. This is an FFPC Dynasty 12-team Superflex PPR. His quarterbacks are Mahomes, Lamar, and McCarthy. Wide receiver is a bit of a weak spot. He has Evans, Sutton, Jacoby Myers. My question is, since I have Olave on 4 of 7 dynasty teams, should I do this to get a younger QB and an upgrade at wide receiver, even though I have a lot of shares of Olave at different teams? Thanks. Love your show. Oh, thanks. We love you. First of all, no. Do not sell Lamar Jackson for Stroud and Olave. This is a tiered question. Lamar to the moon, well over Stroud and Olave. Stroud we talked about already, so there's no reason to really rehash all of that. But Olave, man, like,
this is the wrong podcast to ask about Olave.
But let's the next question from Tone at Tony Perez 34 dot bluesky.social. How worried should we be about Olave with concussions? I'm starting to worry, but
then I think Derek Carr stopped throwing hospital balls, there wouldn't be anything to worry about.
He's always going to throw hospital balls. That's the problem.
Yeah. I'm worried about Olave, not just because of the concussions, but because nothing is changing. I started writing the Trading Post articles again for DLF, and this is the third year in a row my first article is about T. Higgins because I can. And one of the trades involved Chris Olave, and it was how much of, and I was talking about how much I like moving off of, that I will gladly pay Olave plus for T. Higgins, even if I'm rebuilding. Mm-hmm. And that's, I think, a 3-year age difference. And it was like a 26-second, I think it was, on top. Like, I would gladly do that to move off of Olave because we've seen flashes of Olave, but that's all we've seen. And if I'm moving off of Lamar Jackson, I want something a lot more than flashes. Like, I don't think this is much of an upgrade to your wide receiver. I think it's just to your wide receivers. Like, yeah. I mean, honestly, Lamar Jackson's the one quarterback more than anything you should be keeping. See what you can get for Mahomes or McCarthy before trading Lamar, especially for something like this. I would be closer to selling Mahomes for Olave and Stroud. 100%. But I still don't want to do that.
Well, you're not going to sell McCarthy for that.
No.
But you could get into somebody.
Yeah, but you can sell McCarthy just for, like, if I'm selling McCarthy, I don't need a quarterback coming back. McCarthy for a wide receiver. I'd go sell McCarthy for T. Higgins.
Yeah. That, yes. I wouldn't sell McCarthy for Olave.
No.
The thing, if you want to get real, you know, kind of conspiracy theory for a second, Rodgers is about to retire, in theory, we think.
And then
Adams is about to be a free agent.
Yeah.
And McCarthy is on the final list for the Saints coaches. Smells like Adams to the Saints to me. So if Olave is not getting all the target volume, what value is he? Because that was his strength. So I think getting off Olave is better than trying to buy him right now. For those other four shares you have, I would try and get rid of them personally. But
you know. Yeah, and the other piece of this, and I think that it was kind of posed this way, is the 4 of 7 teams with Olave. To me, Ryan, 7 teams is not yet a portfolio play. So yeah. I'm not really worried about whether or not I'm overweight on a player, but I want to have good players. Like the players that I want to be overweight on are the guys who have that huge, you know, that huge upside. And generally they're guys I get in rookie drafts. So like, again, like this past year, and it happened to work out, but like Brian Thomas was my wide receiver 4, and he was lower for a lot of people. And so you could get Brian Thomas at the back end of drafts. I'm overweight in Justin Jefferson because of a very similar thing. It'll be interesting to see how this year shakes out, but like, I don't mind being overweight when you have 7 teams. Yeah. If you have 20 teams, now all of a sudden it makes more sense to spread out your, you know, and play it a little bit more like you're playing stocks and
don't tell me how to live my life, Zach.
and you don't have to play that way. But I think that there you can make an argument that the if you have a huge set of leagues, it makes sense to diversify. When you're playing in, you know, 4 or 5 or 6 or 7 leagues, get good players and have at it. You know, if one of them goes down, yeah, you have a bad year, but like, it's not like you're losing 20 leagues where it's better to diversify if you have that many.
I'm smiling because 7 leagues is probably a portfolio play for normal people who don't have podcasts.
Which absolutely, it absolutely is. And it would be for like 7 would be a lot for me. I only have right now, I only have 4 leagues.
I think I just got to 7. I cut down and added TA league. So I think I got to 7.
I have a lot of leagues. Actually, no, I've got it down to about 20, which for me is
that's impressive.
The lowest it's been in a while.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Tone adds, because I asked what's people's sick routine whenever they're not feeling well. My daughter has the flu, so I have sickness on the mind. And I asked what everyone's food and movie regimen
this is. This is a range, by the way. I was smiling at this answer. This is quite a spectrum he's got here.
So chicken noodle, oranges, and enchiladas, if his stomach is okay.
With, like, super spicy salsa, probably. Like, you know?
Well, it's really funny. I would get really, really sick. And I would just, and my wife would be like, all right, well, you got to eat something. What do you want to eat? And I'm like, I can't eat anything too heavy. Just order me a pizza.
Yeah. Except in New York, it's probably thin, so it doesn't matter. It's not heavy, you know, it's super thin.
But still, it's, you know, you expect the chicken noodle thing. And I'm just like, no, just give me a pizza. I don't want to eat anything too much.
I'm the same way. I don't want to eat a bunch of light stuff when I'm sick.
And his movie list is very interesting. I wasn't ready to hear Interstellar, Home Alone, and then Dune.
That's like, like down, up, down.
Yeah. It's a V-cut to get open.
Yeah.
Let's see. Next we go to Tommy Blair at fftommyb.bluesky.social. As this rookie class comes into focus, what lessons learned from previous RB-heavy years should we keep in mind?
This feels like a Zach question.
I answered it tongue in cheek and said don't draft Corey Davis, but the real answer to this, and it's kind of fun, is don't get caught up in feeling like you have to force other players into the top of a draft.
Exactly. Yes.
Because it feels like quarterback should be at the top of the draft. This mm-hmm. is down quarterback class.
100%.
It feels like you should have wide receivers up, you know, near the top of a draft, because, you know, you're not going to take your running back 6 over the wide receiver 1, are you? Well, in this class, yeah, I am. Because I think that there is a really deep second tier of running backs in this class that are still above the top tier of wide receivers. Mm-hmm. And so it's forcing yourself to get out of that what's normal, because what's normal is what's normal, like, across a whole bunch of leagues or a whole bunch of drafts, a whole bunch of years, a whole bunch of classes. And what we're looking at is a specific class. It's similar to Russ when we talked about the Scott Fishbowl before the beginning of this year, and the Scott Fishbowl scoring was so out of whack compared to normal scoring, like you know, run of the mill leagues, that in order to win the Scott Fishbowl, you had to get out of your own way and draft differently than you would in a normal league. It's the same way when there's a class that skews heavy to a position, mm-hmm. you have to lose that preconceived, you know, that bias that you come in with and say, okay, I'm going to take the best players. And also, look, I break ties to running backs in 100%. Rookie drafts.
Yep.
And this year, the running backs are better, yes. Like markedly better than receivers. You know, there are a couple of good tight ends. Awesome. But this is really a solid running back group. I've watched 12 running backs. 11 of them are running backs that I want on my dynasty teams.
Wow.
Yeah. That's what I said. I was like, this is wild.
Yeah. And I think, you know, one thing that I would take away from this is in classes like this, draft capital doesn't always imply value. Because if Burden goes in the first round to the Bucks, let's just make this up, but Dylan Sampson goes in the second round to the Raiders and is by himself, I'd rather have Dylan Sampson. Like, in that specific example. So just because Burden is taken before Sampson doesn't necessarily mean Burden should go in front of Sampson in rookie drafts. Yes. And I think that's something, because the NFL isn't going to value this running back class like a fantasy draft, right? There's not going to be 7 running backs taken in the first round this year. There's probably going to be 3, if I can do the math on top of my head. I think there's 3 or 4 picks that are going to have running back spots.
Interesting. That many?
Cowboys, Steelers. See, Browns, probably not in the first round, but Browns, Raiders.
Yep, Seahawks probably just for fun.
Yep.
Raiders probably Raiders, twice.
Carroll there, yeah.
Raiders
yeah.
probably twice. I could see them taking Sampson and Hampton together. I mean,
same pick. Some
yeah, great. Let them flip a coin. But I think, and all of that obviously depends on free agency. And if the Steelers bring Warren and Najee back, who knows? But like, I think there won't, like I said, there's not going to be 8 first round running backs in the NFL draft. There's just not. So draft capital can't always imply value in a rookie draft. And I think that's where some people get stuck.
And I think especially this year, that's the trap. So if I said to you best running back class you've ever seen, what would you say?
Whatever Kamara and Zeke's class was,
2017. Zeke was the year before.
Okay. Zeke was 16, Kamara and Co. were 17.
Yeah,
and
then that's what Saquon I meant. Kamara's class then.
Yeah, so yes. So 2017. There were 2 running backs that went in the first round. It was correct. Fournette and McCaffrey.
And Kamara was what, like a third rounder?
Yeah, but that's literally that's the class that redefined running back, because you had CMC, you had Dalvin Cook, you had Fournette, you had Joe Mixon. You had Samaje Perine, league winner. you had Kareem Hunt, who was led the NFL in rushing as a rookie. Yeah. You had Kamara, like that.
Aaron Jones group, and Jamal Williams.
Yeah, yes. Like that group reset the running back position.
That's what's coming.
And that is like, to me, the top end of this class is not as high as the top end of that class. Yeah. I had CMC. I had Dalvin Cook graded higher than I have Genty. But, okay.
Yeah.
I mean,
no, that makes sense. Hairs.
It's close. Like, Genty's right in that Dalvin Cook.
Yeah, yeah.
But, like, this class has so many players who are that second tier. And I know I've talked to you about it, and I tweeted this out. And I said, when you're listening to people do analysis of this year's class, especially with the running backs, don't necessarily listen to the number ranking, but listen to where they have them tiered and listen to where the gaps are in the tiers, because the difference between running back 3 and running back 7 or 8 is not as much as you have it in your head when you're seeing, oh, running back 3, running back 8. Like the difference in my rankings out of 110 points between running back 3 and running back 8 is 2.5. Out of 110 points, they are just that good and that close together up at the top of this class.
The second round's going to be loaded. I think it's day 2 is going to be 8 running backs.
And this is a rookie draft in Dynasty where if your league mates can't get out of their own head and are still drafting, you know, Tet and Burden and the 3 quarterbacks in the first round, all of a sudden you've got another, you know, 5 or 6 or 7 shots at running back in the second round. Plus there are 3 or 4 tight ends that I think are going to be potential contributors. And a couple of them will probably end up, you know, vaulting up toward the top of the tight end rankings, whether or not they produce like top tight ends, that remains to be seen. But there's going to be some value, not necessarily because this is a great class, but because this is a funny class and it's skewed so heavily toward receiver. And if people, because we're really resistant to change. We're really resistant to going against the status quo. We don't like that, because if you do something different and you screw it up, everybody points and calls you an idiot. But the people who are going to really succeed off of this class are going to be the people who understand this. And, you know, it's asymmetrical warfare. The class is asymmetrical, so you have to attack it asymmetrically.
Yep. And I guess just as a closing note for me, this is the rookie draft to trade down. If you have 104 and someone wants Burden for some reason and wants to move up from 8, if you can get 2 picks out of that, you should absolutely do that. Because having second rounders this year is going to be valuable, especially early second rounders.
And so a lot of times you hear people say, oh, second rounders are first round picks in this class. They said it last year. I was like, no, they're not.
This year they might be.
But they're not. They're not. But what's going to happen is second round picks are going to end up hitting this year because people are not understanding the talent and where the talent is.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that second round picks are better this year. It's that we're going to be worse at seeing where those picks should be taken. And so, and it happens. I mean, it happened in the 2014 wide receiver class.
Mm-hmm.
Like that class, like people were still taking running backs high in that class, even though it was obviously a wide receiver heavy class. Mm-hmm. And so the value fell. It didn't make second round picks, first round picks, but it made you able to take a first round player in the second round, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So like you can be very tactical in the second round, I think, with this class and be very happy.
Yeah. I'm realizing I shouldn't have said that because I have the 101 in TA3 through that dispersal and I want to get out of it. So I probably shouldn't have said I want to trade out.
I mean, you could take Janty and just be happy too. Cause he,
yeah,
he,
but that team needs a lot of help. I went young, like all rookies. So,
all right. So now we have two people who just gave us a list of movies that they like to watch when they're sick. Alex N at guamdon.bluesky.social says My Cousin Vinny, The Princess Bride, Ferris Bueller's Day Off, and The Fifth Element.
You just listed all of Russ's favorite movies, basically.
Not far
throw
off.
Throw Big Hero 6 on there and you got the whole list.
Well, The Princess Bride is on my list of movies I watch when I'm sick. But oh man, are you Fifth Element fans?
I've never seen it.
Yeah. It is absolutely silly sci-fi action movie. It is stupid fun. I absolutely recommend it.
Okay. Like Spaceballs silly or like
no. It's an action movie. It's a Bruce Willis action movie. There's a scene where there's an opera singer who, and this is an alien, and they had to do it on a synthesizer because it was impossible for a person to sing. Not the range, but how quickly they changed from octaves. I saw a video of a woman do it in real life. It was breathtaking. Like, to be able to watch a human being do something that was it's not a couple of years ago at this point, it's 20 something years ago, was literally considered impossible. Yeah. And now some woman is just like, and of course she has this straight face this entire time, just like belting out these notes that are just like, you this, and she's this like little woman, like it's just like that. Ugh, so, and the movies, Bruce Willis action movies are just like top notch in general because he's a sarcastic bastard and it's funny. And then we have Justin Edwards at Justin. Oh, he's just Justin Edwards. Bluesky.social. Okay, no red words. Brewster's Millions, which is a great throwback. And then he says, oh, peanut butter and honey sandwiches.
I haven't had that in 20 years.
I did have a peanut butter and honey hot dog recently.
Ew. Ooh.
No.
Well, not too recently. It was in July, but
the Chicago in me is crying right now.
Trust me.
You got to get out more.
get to Canton this year.
I know. I got to work on that.
And you'll see. Or I guess next year, right? This is the wedding year.
Yeah. I'm going to try. We'll see where we're
planning. I mean, when's the wedding? As long as it's not August 8th through the 13th, you should
first
be
week
fine.
Of November. Yeah, perfect. So I got to see where planning stages are by then. But yeah, I'm going to try and make it.
All right. Don't, so, Zach.
Don't ruin your wedding for Cam. Please don't.
That's the plan.
You absolutely should. Oh, yeah. No.
Zach, what's your sick time routine? What's your go-to foods and watching?
I haven't been sick in such a long time.
Oh, don't say ooh, that. Don't there's too that. Much stuff going around right now.
I know. But for me, I don't really eat when I'm sick. I just want to be in bed, which is like that's the one time in my life that I don't want to eat, regardless of whether it's like a flu or stomach or if it's, something else. And as far as movies, I need to have something with like multiple parts, so it's going to be like Lord of the Rings, all of the, so start with The Hobbit and go all the way through, or Harry Potter, where you've got eight movies. And something like that. and I'll be happy because I do not want to move. I just want to be in a state of rest. And the more I move, the worse I feel. So if I can just have one where you don't have to worry about Netflix asking you every 45 minutes if you're still watching, yeah, you know, something like that, you just go.
Yeah, I have Disney Plus whenever I'm not feeling well because I have, you know, there were some of them were listed: Big Hero 6, mm-hmm, yeah, Princess Bride, mm-hmm, the Disney Robin Hood, you know, the one with the fox.
Yes.
Who Framed Roger Rabbit? All of these on Disney Plus. It's nice and easy. I have a watch list set up. I just go one to the next. It's wonderful. Mm-hmm. Ferris Bueller's Day Off was Rocky's answer, by the way. Just wanted to throw it out there that Rocky, who could not be with us tonight.
Is he still celebrating the Eagles win?
Probably.
Yeah, he's still hungover.
Too many chicken nuggets.
No, he saw the food question and didn't want to be on here.
Yeah, he's angry that we just keep putting food questions on there to make him feel bad. What about you, Frank?
I have Disney Plus for a different reason. I'm just the Marvel, just, you know, cinematic universe guy. Whenever I'm sick, I'll just, you know, you click one movie and then they give you like three choices. Like, because you watch this, you can watch this. I'm like, all right, that'll work. And then it just, you kind of just bounce around. I don't really go in any order. I just, you know, some I like more than others and I'll just go through it. But I'm also like, you know, Harry Potter, Lord of the Rings, stuff where you can burn 17 hours without thinking too hard.
Star Wars too. We didn't say Star Wars,
but yes, that's another involved one. Yep.
Yep.
I haven't done a Star Wars marathon in a while. I need to do that.
I just finished one, I feel like.
I need to do it. I miss Star Wars. All right, but that is the end of our show sheet. So that is going to be the end of our show. Otherwise, we start talking about Star Wars for the next hour.
We could do that too, honestly.
I'm not. Yeah, I wouldn't be sad if actually, yes, I would. It's an hour. It's my bedtime. Well, I should be sleeping in an hour from now.
Yeah.
But what do? Patreon.com/TradeAddictsPod. You can hang out with us while we record. We also have our awesome Discord chat, the Cool Kids Club. And then otherwise, it's fantasycares.org time. Always fantasycares.org. We have something coming up for the Royal Rumble, fantasycares.org/rumble. You pick a number, and that is your entrant in both the men's and women's Rumble. So I think there's 30 people that come into the Rumble. So you'll pick 1 through 30. And if you pick 18 and the 18th wrestler to come in wins, you'll be in the drawing for a prize. That is for your same number for both the men's and the women's. There will be a Super Bowl squares contest coming out. We're just putting on the finishing touches on that one, so it's not out. Well, by the time I actually put this out, the squares contest might be out. We'll see
how that goes.
But that's going to happen soon as well. So keep your eye out for fantasycares.org/squares. But that's it.
Zach, when is the first Hoot Nanny?
The first Hoot Nanny is going to be next Tuesday. It's going to be the Optimus Primer. J. Mike and I will jump on. We're going to give you the 30,000 foot view of this class, but also how we look at these players that we evaluate year to year. This, I'm pretty sure we're going to be on the Fantasy Cares YouTube stream and the Dynasty Dummies YouTube stream. And once we get to the end of all of this, before the draft happens, we will, Bob Gilchrist will put together with my film notes, a package of film notes that you can make a donation to Fantasy Cares and access the my film notes for every single player that I have watched. It'll give you the pluses, the minuses, what I think. You don't have to take my word for it, but it's at least a good place to start getting yourself familiarized with the team. And it's for a good cause. It's all goes to Fantasy Cares. All of your donation goes to the charity. I don't need to see any of that money. I just want to see the goodness that it can do. And so that for me is a lot of fun. We're in, mm-hmm, in the season where I am ready to shine.
Maybe they'll bring back the Fantasy Cares draft stream, which I admit was one of the most fun things I had.
We will absolutely be doing Fantasy Cares for the draft. So,
All right. But for now, good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, Russ. Good night, Rocky.
Thank you for listening to the Great Attic Pod, a proud member in the Dynasty Attic Podcast Network. Please follow your hosts at Dynasty Haha and at Dynasty FF Attic. Please subscribe, rate, and review. We will catch you next time on the Great Attic Podcast. Poopy Pants. That is the best. See ya.